Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Friday, February 9, 2018. Government delegation at the High-Level Revitalization Forum declines to sign a declaration of principles.
So in simple terms, you will call them rules of engagement or of discussions or negotiations or participation in the process or guiding rules generally for the revitalization process.
And one woman is killed in Yei by suspected police officers.
The two police were arrested immediately. We are waiting for the complainant plus form 8, and those two criminals have to be sent to Yei. She is not the one who fell in the fire, but these people are the one who pushed her in that fire.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. South Sudanese stakeholders meeting in Addis Ababa have signed an agreement on the Declaration of Principles, a set of rules to guide discussions at the second phase of the High-Level Revitalization Forum. The SPLM-IO loyal to Riek Machar said it also signed the document. Raja Mohandis is representing civil society groups at the forum. He says delegates representing the Transitional Government of National Unity refused to sign the Declaration of Principles, citing concerns about Article 28, which talks about punitive measures against individuals who block the road to peace. Rajab says the talks will continue despite today's setback.
Since Monday, we have been talking about Declaration of Principles, guiding framework for the High-Level Revitalization Forum. We also had discussions on some articles, Chapter 1 of the peace agreement. And then today we were able to agree on revitalization of the transitional, the judiciary basically. And so those were things that were discussed and agreed upon. And then the declaration of principles also.
Could you explain to an ordinary man or woman what Declaration of Principles is? These are technical terms, well, and people in Juba might be wondering, what is this?
Fine. Well, the Declaration of Principles are guiding or rules upon which these discussions, the discussions on the revitalization of the agreement will be based. And they stand as guidelines upon which people will be discussing. And so in simple terms, you will call them rules of engagement or of discussions or negotiations or participation in the process or guiding rules generally for the revitalization process.
And my understanding is that all of you who are in Addis, the parties represented in Addis, are supposed to have signed the Declaration of Principle document today.
Well, yes, we were supposed to sign the document, and yes, quite a number of the parties signed the document. Most of the parties signed
How many parties signed the document? Because we are getting conflicting reports from Addis. Do you have a figure on how many parties signed it?
Well, you know, from the first round of the negotiations, there were 13 parties that participated. All these parties are again here. And so out of these 13, most of them, okay, those were opposition political parties, most of them signed the document. And so it's the Transitional Government of National Unity that had some concerns about one provision, one article in the document. And so they did not agree to sign that provision still in the document.
And what is this provision? I hear it is Article 28. What is the provision of this Article 28?
Well, Article 28 is a kind of a deterrent article. It talks about measures, punitive measures, on any stakeholder that will violate provisions of the revitalized agreement. So it simply recalls a statement or communique of the IGAD heads of states and governments of their 28th summit, and that statement talks about punitive measures on parties that violate cessation of hostilities. it is this the content of this provision that has been included in the Declaration of Principles. Ideally, establishing that parties agree not to violate provisions of this agreement or the revitalized agreement. And if they do, then there will be consequences.
And so the government is saying they are not signing the document because of that article. Is that correct?
Well, of course, you might need to hear this directly from the government, but they just had concerns about this, that this is a provision that already exists, the communique of the 28th Summit of the IGAD Heads of States and Government. It is a provision that has already been captured in the Cessation of Hostilities Agreement that was signed in December. So its inclusion in this document makes it redundant. That is the argument they have put forth. And so based on that, their recommendation was that this is dropped, and then they would sign the document without any problem.
With the government delegation not signing the Declaration of Principles, what is the fate of the negotiations? Are you going to continue negotiating?
Well, of course, we are here to negotiate, and by not signing this document, it doesn't signal any party pulling out from the process. And so it is our hope as the civil society that the parties and, of course, with the help of the mediators, find a common ground on this particular provision. And then all of them will sign the document and continue with the negotiations. And, of course, as our schedule stands, tomorrow we'll still have a session. And as the process still continues, we remain hopeful that these concerns will be addressed and the document all parties will sign the document.
That's Raja Mohandis, a representative of the South Sudan Civil Society Groups at the Phase 2 of the High Level Revitalization Forum. He was speaking to me from Addis Ababa this past hour. South Sudan in Focus put a request to interview government spokesman Michael Makui, but we were told Makui was in a meeting. The South Sudan government is cracking down on illegal money exchange to prevent South Sudan pound from losing more value against the US dollar. A combined force of police, military, and national security operatives were deployed in several markets to arrest money changers in Juba. Dimo Silva Aurelio has this report for VOA from Juba.
One money changer who prefers to remain anonymous and wants his recorded voice distorted for safety reasons says the latest crackdown on the black market money changers will deny him his only source of revenue.
I got these people have been deployed on my shop. So there's no way out, we have to take off. So we don't know what has happened and till up to now. But what I've learned is they are dealing with the black marketers. So we don't know what's going to happen. But it has actually stopped our business. As for now, we are at home.
The money changer says he doesn't know how else to earn money to provide for the needs of his family.
This business, this is the way of survival nowadays. We support our family after, you buy, you sell, you get small profit, you survive for maintaining your family, supporting your family, paying school fees, and rent also is even there. So today, life has become hard.
2 days ago, the Central Bank of South Sudan said it will inject more U.S. dollars into the economy to prevent further devaluation of the pound. The U.S. dollar now exchanges for 250 South Sudanese pounds, up from 215 South Sudanese pounds a week ago on the black market. Despite the crackdown on black market money changers, traders and buyers continue to haggle over prices for vegetables, fruits, and other basic commodities in Juba markets. Some traders say they are not concerned about the crackdown on money changers. They say the only thing they want to see is a reduction in the skyrocketing commodity prices. Janet Kiden sells artificial hair and clothes in Juba's custom market. Speaking in Arabic, Janet says the loss of value of the South Sudanese pound against the US dollars is the cause of current price hikes. I want it to drop down because I have no husband and no one to help us. She says when they need to buy food, traders will tell them the price, which is high, saying the dollar is high. Juba's deputy mayor, Samir Hamid Suleiman, says the decision to crack down on black market money changers was agreed to in a joint security meeting with the military, police, the National Security Service, the Finance Ministry, and Juba City officials.
On Wednesday, they say that, you know, they don't want this issue to be, this issue with buying dollar like this should not be there. All the organs are there.
South Sudan National Police spokesman Brigadier General Daniel Justin says the crackdown this time around must achieve its objective of ensuring that those who want to sell or buy the dollar only do so through licensed foreign exchange bureaus.
We have been doing this from time to time, but this time we have changed our way of handling it in terms of deploying forces in those areas, especially in Juba Town and Juba Market, I mean Custom Market. So it will be continuous, and everybody violating will be, the case will be open against him, and then he will face the law.
Justin has this advice for the black market money changers.
Instead of just trying to sell or to be involved in this hard currency business, the law have put down certain steps, because you can get the license, you get your place, and then you operate legally. Because many of these forex now, they are operational.
Justin says if buyers or sellers do not have enough capital, they can form groups amongst themselves in order to operate legally. For VOA News, I am Dimo Silva Aurelio in Juba.
Police in Yei River State have arrested two officers suspected of killing a 20-year-old woman in Lanya County. The police inspector of Lanya says the suspects will be arraigned in court and charged with murder. Daniel Friday Martin has details for VOA from Yei Town.
Residents claim the two unnamed police officers lived in a house whose owners fled to a refugee camp in Uganda when fighting spread to Lanya County in July 2016. It is alleged that earlier last week, the two officers returned from work to find the house engulfed in flames. 20-year-old woman who is deaf and dumb was standing near the house. Residents claim the two police officers accused her of touching the house and pushed her into the burning house. A resident who prefers to remain anonymous for fears of reprisal says the incident took residents by surprise. Speaking in her native Pojulu language, she says when she arrived on the scene, the two officers had already fled. She says she was touched by what she saw.
When I arrived at the scene, I noticed that people looked visibly shocked. I asked them what happened, and they told me that some policemen pushed the deaf girl into the burning house. Then I saw her. She was badly injured with burns across her body. We were worried and concerned because we felt she was
innocent. Residents transported the disease to Ye Civil Hospital for treatment, and she died yesterday. Lanya County Chief Police Inspector Romeo Liwa says he sent his men to arrest the two officers.
The two police, we are arrested immediately. We are waiting for the cooperator plus form 8, and those two criminals has to be sent to Ye. According to the statement of the lay, said she is not the one who falls in the fire, but these people are the one who pushed her in that fire.
Speaking in her native Pojulu language, Ross Yama, the mother of the deceased, urged officers to bring her daughter's killers to justice.
I'm unhappy because I have lost my only daughter. The government should take this case seriously. I want to be present in court when the suspects are being tried. Before her death, my daughter told me that people in police uniform threw her into the fire.
Simon Lomudi Ladu is a human rights activist in Ye River State. He says local authorities in Lanya County should try the suspects in a court of law and sentence them to prison. Ladu says he fears that an unknown number of people living with disabilities have been targeted and killed since the conflict spread to parts of Ye River State in 2016.
During the crisis in Lanya, all persons with disabilities were killed in Lanya. Those who had mental issues, those who had physical impairments, and this is the last person with disability who was in Lanya, and now is also killed. The government should know that we are equal. They have equal human rights like any other persons. We want the commissioner of Lanya, and the chief of police knows the case from A to Z. We want them to assist us in investigating this case, and we need a speed up process of justice so that we could know that the government protects us.
Aiko Wani, Director General for Gender and Social Development in Yei River State, admits that many people living with disabilities have been neglected.
Very many cases, even others have been raped. Even there is another one here currently in the hospital here. She has been raped, who is underage. She's visually impaired, underage of 15 years. She's been raped and she delivered. And it's not very difficult. Who is going to support her? Cases all, they come from Lanya. We, as citizens of Southern Sudan, we have to respect the rights of people with disabilities.
Wani says the government must ensure the officer suspected of killing the woman in Lanya County are taken to court. For VOA News, I'm Daniel Friday Martin.
You are tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, South Sudanese refugees say they want to return back home. That story is coming up next.
For in-depth news and analysis on events in South Sudan, tune in to South Sudan in Focus, Monday through Friday from 1630 to 1700 UTC. We are also on the web at www.voanews.com/South Sudan or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on VOA Africa.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what are you looking forward to the most in the future?
I want to basically get money and a job, stable job, in the future. That's what I'm looking forward for. And basically money and a house, and just I want to be better off than I am right now.
I should maybe have a good job where I can be able to feed myself, my relative, and so forth.
To be at peace in future, such that everybody can mind on his own business. They can just settle their families and also look about their personal hygiene and health.
My dream, which is to work with UN, yeah, it's been always my dream, and I know I will one day.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. The United Nations and donor partners in Uganda are demanding accountability after claims money meant for refugees was being pocketed by Ugandan officials. Uganda is home to more than 1.3 million refugees, a majority from South Sudan. Though the country has been praised for its open-door refugee policy, claims of corruption has tinted this image. Halima Athumani reports from Kampala.
Ugandan officials at the ministerial office responsible for refugee affairs have been accused of a range of offences, including fraudulent food distribution, fraudulent refugee lists, and forcing refugees to pay bribes to get registered. The irregularities were discovered after UN partners followed internal procedures and demanded an expeditious investigation. A team of investigators from the World Food Programme are reportedly in the country to support the investigations. Uganda Prime Minister Ruhakana Rugunda, however, downplayed the scandal, calling it a small issue that will be handled.
It's true there have been some reports that there may be ghost refugees. Government last week instituted a team from the CID to investigate the matter. We're expecting the report and we'll deal with it.
Rose Malango, the UN resident coordinator for Uganda, expressed concern, saying the rule of law must be followed to ensure those responsible are brought to justice.
The work that we are involved in, the resources that we are talking about, touch human lives. So it is absolutely unacceptable that any of these resources should be misused. This is not just about resources. This is also about human dignity. We've heard about allegations of abuse of women and girls, and it's absolutely fundamental to make sure that we do everything in our power collectively to make sure we protect all women and girls, whether they're citizens or refugees.
Finances meant for refugees are channeled through the various UN agencies in the country and sometimes through the office of the Prime Minister. Some money is given to aid refugees through various agencies were allegedly given back to some officials in the office of the Prime Minister. Last week, the UN High Commissioner for Refugees, Filippo Grandi, sounded an alarm for $3.2 billion for South Sudan refugees in the East African region, while in Uganda, he didn't mince his words.
Whenever this allegation, and it happens, pertain to our activities or to activities of the UN has very robust systems in place to investigate and to take sanctions. And this is resolved. So on our side, there is a full commitment to do that.
For now, the Minister for Relief, Disaster Preparedness and Refugees has directed the Permanent Secretary in the Office of the Prime Minister to interdict four top officials as investigations continue. Halima Athmani for VOA News, Kampala.
Still in Uganda, South Sudanese refugees in northern Uganda say they are ready to return to South Sudan after hearing the security situation has improved back home. The refugees also say they want to return because life in the refugee camps is harsh. Officials in the office of Uganda's prime minister say since December, at least 91 South Sudanese refugees have voluntarily returned home from camps in northern Uganda. Bonifacio Taban has more for VOA from Kampala.
Joyce Amule, a refugee living in Falebeg Ogele refugee settlement camp in Uganda Lamu district, say living conditions at the camp are horrible.
In order for you, a human being, to live well, you need food, you need water, you need other things to make you live like really a human being. So we are lacking a lot in these camps.
And that is why Amulu said he and her family are willing to return to South Sudan. Peter Elijah, a refugee living in Kiradongo refugee resettlement camp, said he heard from friend who had gone back in December that the security situation has improved in Juba.
They said the situation is now calm and the government of South Sudan is providing free transport and food to those who have gone back. So I've made up my mind this year, 2018, instead of staying away from home, I'm going back to South Sudan, my home country.
Essential food such as maize flour and beans, which the government occasionally subsidizes, are available in some Juba shop. Driliga George, a refugee living in Palorenya refugee settlement camp, said his financial situation in Uganda is worsening by the day. He said the food ration he received from aid agencies are not enough to feed him or his family. Solomon Osakana, a district refugees desk officer in the office of Prime Minister, said 71 refugees from South Sudan have been registered to return home in December. He said he has heard that the government of South Sudan will provide free transport and food for refugees who are willing to return home in a bid to encourage refugees' repatriation. But government officials have denied they are providing free transport and food to refugees returning home.
The government of South Sudan was giving something small food thing just to encourage people to go back. Instead, they go there to pick some food, and I think they were listening to the radio. The government had promised them some transport and food for those who are going back to South Sudan.
Titus Jogo is another refugees desk officer in the office of Prime Minister in Adjumani district. Jogo said his office has documented at least 20 South Sudanese refugees who have left camp in Adjumani to return home.
Around last year, we registered at least 71 of the refugees who returned to majorly Juba.
Gadwek Peter Kulang is Undersecretary in South Sudan Ministry of Humanitarian Affairs. He said he's aware that some refugees have voluntarily returned to Yei River State since December. He stressed that the government does not provide an assistance to the refugees, but work with aid agencies that provide food and other life-saving assistance to returnees upon arrival. Jogo advised refugees who want to return home to ensure they are returning to areas of South Sudan that are safe. For VOA News, I'm Bonifacio Taban, reporting from Kampala.
You're listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Here is a recap of today's top stories with South Sudan in Focus editor Carol Van Damme.
Thanks, John. South Sudanese stakeholders meeting in Addis Ababa have signed an agreement on the Declaration of Principles. That's a set of rules to guide discussions at the second phase of the high-level revitalization forum underway in Addis Ababa. The SPLM-IO, loyal to Riek Machar, said it also signed the document. Rajab Mohandas, who represents civil society groups at the forum, says the delegates representing the Transitional Government of National Unity refused to sign the declaration, citing their concerns about Article 28, which discusses the consequences for individuals who block the road to peace. He says the talks will continue despite today's setback. The program put in a request to interview the government spokesman, but we're told Michael McQuay was in a meeting at the time. The South Sudan government is cracking down on black market money changers to try and prevent the South Sudanese pound from losing even more value against the U.S. dollar. Money changers in Juba have been seeing a combined force of police, military, and National Security Service operatives in several local markets this week. One money changer, who preferred to remain anonymous for safety reasons, says the crackdown will deny him his only source of revenue. He says he's forced to stay home rather than earn a living. The money changer says he doesn't know how else to earn money to provide for the needs of his family. 2 days ago, the Central Bank of South Sudan said it will inject more U.S. dollars into the economy to prevent further devaluation of the pound. The U.S. dollar now exchanges for 250 South Sudanese pounds, and that's up from 215 pounds a week ago on the black market. Some traders say they're not concerned about the crackdown on money changers, but do want to see a reduction in the skyrocketing commodity prices. Juba's deputy mayor, Samir Kamas Suleiman, says the decision to crack down on black market money changers was agreed to in a joint security meeting with the military, police, the National Security Service, the finance ministry, and Juba city officials. And finally, two police officers in Yei River State were arrested. They're suspected of killing a 20-year-old woman in Lanya County. The police inspector in Lanya says the suspects will be arraigned in court and charged with murder after their investigation is complete. Residents said the two unidentified officers lived in a house whose owners had fled to a refugee camp in Uganda when fighting spread to Lanya County in July 2016. It is alleged that earlier the two officers last week returned from work to find the house engulfed in flames. A 20-year-old woman who is deaf and dumb was standing near the house. Residents nearby said the two officers accused the woman of torching the house and pushed her into that burning house. A resident who prefers to remain anonymous for fear of reprisal says the incident took residents by surprise. She says she arrived shortly after it took place and witnesses looked visibly shocked. She said they told her the police shoved the deaf girl into the house. She also said she saw the young woman who was badly injured with burns across her body. Residents transported the woman to Yei Hospital, where she later died. And that's a look at some of today's top stories. I'm Carol Van Dam.
That's our show for this Friday. We now leave you with the song Dowironi by Emmy J. We have been listening to Emmy J with the song Dowironi. That one talks about the problems with your in-laws. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. Would like to know what you think about this show. You can reach us on SouthSudan@voanews.com. Find us on our Facebook page. Our title on Facebook is South Sudan in Focus. Have a peaceful weekend and join us again next week for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.